of March 4th, 2019, to order and begin with our flag salute. Ms. Becker, would you lead us in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Madam Clerk, will you call roll, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Bryson?
Present.
Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Here.
Ms. Hale? Ms. Hughes Candies?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Treen?
Here.
Mayor Weldon?
Here.
The quorum is present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We'll start with a special order of business. Mr. Cooper and any other member of the American Legion?
Is it on now? Yes. Sorry. This is a proclamation. Whereas the American Legion was organized on March 15, 1919, and chartered by Congress on September 16, 1919, as a wartime veterans organization and as a staunch advocate for veterans and their families based on the American Legion's four pillars of service, care of veterans, a strong national defense, Americanism, and children and youth. And whereas, over the years, the American Legion has become a preeminent community service organization of nearly 2 million members, men and women, in over 12,000 American Legion posts worldwide, working a variety of programs that support the four pillars that benefit our nation's veterans, their families, the youth of America, and its citizens. And whereas, the American Legion has played a leading role in initiatives and breakthroughs that have enriched the lives of Americans in every community, from the U.S. Flag Code to the GI Bill of Rights, care of our veterans. And whereas the members of the American Legion, Ock Bay Post 25, are dedicated to upholding the ideals of freedom and democracy while working to make a difference in the lives of fellow Alaskans. And whereas the American Legion, Ock Bay Post 25, continues to serve Alaskan veterans, members of the armed forces, and their families through its hospital visits, financial assistance, children and youth programs, and continues to fight for the rights of veterans and our military through active legislation at the state and national level. And whereas the American Legion is celebrating its centennial in 2019, now therefore I, Beth A. Weldon, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby proclaim March 15th, 2019, as the American Legion Centennial Day in Juneau, and call on all our citizens to honor our veteran service organizations, the American Legion, for its service and support to our community and its veterans and its advocacy of the four pillars of service that define the American Legion. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused to be affixed the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on this 4th day of March 2019, Beth A. Weldon, Mayor.
Thank you to the American Legion. All right, this moves us to approval of minutes. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move we accept the minutes with, they were just very small corrections, which I've already turned in, and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, approval of the minutes on December 17th. Manager's request for agenda changes, and you have a few this time.
Madam Mayor, I have two requests for agenda changes. I would request that under new business item C, the liquor license protest, the protest is removed because the utility bill has been paid, and the bill was paid earlier, and I regret that we did not catch that before the packet went out. But I would ask that that liquor license be moved to consent agenda 3A with the other liquor license renewals. And the second item is I would ask for the resolution 2A regarding the Affordable Housing Commission be moved to public hearing, because I believe we are going to have some public testimony on that item.
Okay, thank you. So that's the first item we'll take up on public hearing then. So, any other agenda changes?
No other changes. Thank you.
Okay, and then you said it too, but just again, a sincere apology for Tracy's King Crab Shack for their protests. Apparently things crossed in the mail, and we apologize for that. Okay, so that brings us to public participation on non-agenda items. And it looks like, oops, excuse me. Oh, wait, sorry. Mr. Hanna, you'll get to talk soon. So a non-agenda item is Kirby Day. How about 3 minutes?
Give you my instructions here. Can you not pull on the microphone so I won't?
But hi, Mr. Day, could you just go ahead and push it down? You're the first one that's speaking.
Okay. There you go.
There you go.
Is that okay?
This is not, you already wanted it.
I didn't want to break the rule. Okay. Good, thanks. Kirby Day 1302 Tarn Court, and addressing the assembly tonight on just as an update on tourism best management practices. You know, we've been working hard all fall and winter, and we're continuing to be committed to addressing the growth of, and the 1.3 million cruise visitors we will host this summer. We realize it's a great positive effect to our economy and jobs, but we also realize with that comes challenges in efficiently moving vehicles and pedestrians through the city in a community-friendly way. So I've made a quick little list here of some of the things we've been working on. This isn't all of it, but it's some of the things we're working on. We're working closely with DOT and the CBJ on crosswalk discussions and possible realignment. Downtown, we're working closely with the CBJ on the future plan for Lower Seward reconstruction, Seward Street. We're encouraging all members to refocus and recommit on just being better. We can be better. We've done this for 23 years, and we can find ways to improve our operations to make those less impactful to the community and to neighborhoods. And so we're really working hard to get people to concentrate on that. And we're not afraid to have discussions about capacity and what does that mean, and what do the numbers mean, and what's the right number, if there is such, but also to look at innovative ways to use infrastructure and standard operating procedures to maybe be able to grow that capacity and absorb the growth and the volume. We're investigating ways to guide pedestrians to crosswalks downtown. There's a little different than what we do now. And we're working closely with the CBJ and DOT on that. We're re-emphasizing with crossing guards when to let vehicles go and when to stop people. There's an art there, and they've done generally a good job, but we're re-emphasizing that. Groups working with freight companies to find innovative ways to manage deliveries. We're asking whale watching companies and fishing operators to manage their wake in a more neighborhood-friendly, you know, resident-friendly manner, and also follow the NOAA guidelines more closely in terms of whale watching. So we're committed to managing the growth. We're committed to talking about it. We're working with JADC as a visitor products cluster group. And, you know, we are proud of being in this industry. It's a great industry. But we need to continue to be better. And that's our focus and our goal, and that's the terms I'm using this year, is we can be better and we need to. This is an important summer. It's a significant growth, but I think we can do things that will help the community absorb it, help the community embrace it, and it'll be a great place to visit, but more importantly, Juneau needs to be a great place to live. So don't ever hesitate to reach out to me, and I'll let you know where we are on things, and we'll continue to work hard at it. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Day? All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any other public testimony for non-agenda items? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Any public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Any assembly requests for agenda changes?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move the consent agenda as amended, which is to remove item 2A and ask for unanimous consent.
And we're adding something to it, aren't we?
Oh, and adding the liquor license that the manager mentioned.
Thank you, Ms. Treem, and thank you, Ms. Gladyshevsky. Any objections for approval of the consent agenda? Seeing and hearing none, consent agenda is approved. So that leads us to public hearing. And the first item that we will take up is Resolution 2846. So we'll start with Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Resolution 2846, a resolution repealing Resolution 2506 and disbanding the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The Assembly established the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission in January 2007 with a three-year sunset expiring in January 2010. 2009, Resolution 2506 repealed the three-year limit and emphasized that affordable housing was a broad-ranging issue for the community and its municipal government. Since then, Juneau Affordable Housing Commission has worked to address many facets of Juneau's affordable housing and homelessness issues. CBJ has adopted a housing action plan to guide affordable housing opportunities, created a chief housing officer and a homelessness coordinator position, made land available for housing development, completed small area plans in Auk Bay and Lemon Creek, and has established three housing incentive programs: the Juneau Affordable Housing Fund, the Accessory Apartment Incentive Grant Program, and the Mobile Loan Down Payment Assistance Program. Additionally, the Planning Commission is looking at providing an additional avenue for developer input into its code amendment process. The tasks previously assigned to the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission can now be effectively managed by the Chief Housing Officer, the Community Development Department, and the Planning Commission and the Assembly. As the Assembly has taken substantial policy interest in housing topics, it is appropriate that the policy discussions be held at Assembly meetings. The Assembly Human Resources Committee reviewed this matter on January 28, 2019, and on February 11, 2019, and recommended disestablishing the Affordable Housing Commission as it has completed its mission. I recommend you adopt this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Hanna, would you like to come up?
My name is Dave Hanna, 11495 Mendenhall Loop Road. I want to thank you, Madam Mayor and Assembly members, for the opportunity to come up here and speak to Resolution 2846, which disbands the Affordable Housing Commission. Since this action is being taken prior to our next scheduled commission meeting, I actually cannot speak for the commission. However, I can relate actions that the commission has taken and give you my viewpoint on those. While the manager has provided a good synopsis of some of the history and activity of the Housing Commission, I feel there are some aspects of its work, along with that of the Chief Housing Officer, that haven't been addressed. And to put it in perspective, I'm a rather short-term member of the Commission. I've only been there a couple years. I am the chair now, but there was a lot of work done there before I came on board, a lot of hard work, most of the hard work, I feel. After the review of the goals of the Juneau Housing Action Plan in the year prior to last year, we decided that it was very apparent that we should focus solely on workforce housing opportunities because there are many other entities within the city that focus on homeless issues, low-cost housing issues, and worked on programs to bring those into play. So we thought that if you read the Juneau Housing Action Plan, it showed that workforce housing was the main goal. So we made a motion to that effect almost exactly a year ago. In the last year, we've been spending quite a bit of time looking at different avenues on how you could bring this type of housing into effect in Juneau. And we're we've been awaiting proposals from different folks who are ready to step up to the plate, so to speak. Another area of focus has been how the community has been meeting the goals of the Juneau Housing Action Plan. And it seems like it kind of depends on how you look at the data as to whether or not we're getting there. You can interpret it many different ways. You can cull different sets of data out. May I continue?
Yes.
Thank you. And look at it from different aspects. And right now, some folks are actually of the opinion that the local building community has been meeting the goals of the action plan, doing it without any incentives from the city. So there's been some pretty spirited discussion about that. There's actually been a lot of housing units brought online. One thing that's come out of this is it would appear that maybe the Juneau housing needs assessment should be done more regularly, perhaps every couple years, so we can target where we are deficient, if we're deficient. I mean, the reality of it is if the economic climate in the state and the municipality changes as dramatically as it could in the next couple years, we may not need additional housing. We may need instead to focus on making the housing we have more affordable. We were going to get a presentation on that at our meeting tomorrow night. I believe it's been sent to all of you tonight. There was an interesting theory on that, of what could be done in that regard. And I would like to make it apparent to all of the folks here that the person who made that presentation actually does not accept those vouchers. They would not profit by that program. That would be done by other people. So I thought that was very interesting that was put together very altruistically. Earlier this commission, the commission passed a motion to continue our work. We felt that we could meet less frequently, but that there would always be a need for a citizen review panel to view the housing data that was coming in, look at the work that the chief housing officer was doing, look at the community's needs, all with an unbiased view. We also feel that some sort of a panel should be in place to review any proposals for the housing fund. A peer review by folks that have the sort of experience and expertise that some of the members on the commission have could be very helpful. We've seen some things that didn't exactly go right in the last few years, and I think those things could be avoided. Perhaps the Eagle Rock venture, we could have taken a closer look at it if we'd realized that those folks were really expecting the same rate of return as they get in Seattle. At that point, we would have said they're not going to get there without additional subsidies, and that talk could have been had right at the start. The housing project we have out at Pedersen Hill, a little more in-depth review might have seen some of those pitfalls that were going to happen. It could have been adjusted ahead of time. Just things like that. When you have folks that have expertise in land development, in finance, in managing affordable housing projects, financing affordable housing projects, it's not fair to expect city staff to have all that experience and expertise. I think it's just not fair for them to have those viewpoints. And I think it would be unwise to turn down the offer of that expertise free of charge. So I think that perhaps the Assembly may want to go ahead and disband the Housing Commission. And if they want to do that, I would suggest that you look at forming a new review committee. It doesn't have to have as many members, maybe only four, like a memo I sent earlier a month or two ago. You might only need four members for that review committee. If you wanted to let the Housing Commission become that review committee, I know that the commission would be willing to entertain that. We've already planned at our next meeting to look at where we would go in the future, how many meetings it would really take to accomplish that task, and any others the Assembly saw fit to delegate to the commission. Wouldn't hurt my feelings to not have more meetings to go to. But I really think there is a place for citizen involvement in an undertaking like you have before you. We have proposals coming before you now. The proposal out there at Vintage Park, that's not a small thing. I might add that the commission was never informed of that. It was kind of interesting. I saw that in the Lands Committee agenda. I guess I would offer the fact that when you are reviewing that, given the changing climate that we have possibly in front of us, let's remember that what looked good a year ago might not look so good now. So the city may not want to go ahead and buy property to find out that the people that had good numbers before will look at Medicaid not being so much in existence and go, oh, we can't go there. There's not enough money for it. So it's little things like that I think if you have citizen input from people who have experience in assisted living, affordable housing, land development, finance, on sometimes that kind of input can be pretty invaluable. So once again, thank you for giving me the time to talk.
Thank you, Mr. Hanna. Any questions for Mr. Hanna? Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm sorry, I was a little confused. I was one of the members of the Human Resource Committee that voted to disband it, but the information that I had come across led me to believe that the commission was willing to disband or did not see that or saw that their task had been completed. Could you maybe elaborate on the will of the commission as you've had deliberated? Does the commission want to stick together? Does the majority of the commission want to keep the commission together? I was just a little confused.
The majority of the commission voted at our last meeting to continue its work, if the assembly would allow it.
Well, could you elaborate on some of the reasons why they believe that they should continue to meet as that commission?
Well, we actually think that, as I stated earlier, that I won't say that the staff operates in a vacuum, but it doesn't always have the perspective that the commission members have. And sometimes there are problems within the development community that they don't feel comfortable bringing to any department of the city borough, but they will come to the housing commissioners with, and then we can carry that forward. And we've offered to do that on different occasions. We have done it on different occasions. Truthfully, I don't know how effective it is, but I know it gives some sense of relief to the public to know they have another voice, advocate, however you want to describe it. But I think our main concern is how the Affordable Housing Fund is managed and making sure we're staying on target with what the community's needs really are. Sifting through the data can be pretty daunting sometimes.
Thank you, Mr. Hanna.
Ms. Trim, did you have your hand up?
Okay. Mr. Jones? Thanks. I've sat through a lot of meetings in the last 7 years, and I know the Housing Commission at times has been before us, not often. But I've never attended any of your meetings, so I can't. I'm asking this question in the blind. But you talked about the public going to the Housing Commission because they didn't feel they had any other place to go. How many people like me have come before the commission asking a question, as opposed to how many potential developers, somebody looking at becoming a developer, somebody wanting to enter the market as a developer, somebody wanting to build homes? How many just citizens have said, oh, geez, I should go to the Housing Commission because maybe I can figure out how to buy a lot and build a home or whatever? I really, looking at your minutes and looking at some of the recommendations that have been brought forward, I question whether or not you really had the public coming as opposed to developers.
You're entirely right. I probably misspoke when I said the public, because normally it's developers or people who are in the game, so to speak. We actually have, once or twice a year, we have public members coming to just find out exactly what you're asking there. You know, how can I get a lot? How can I afford to build? Why does it cost so much to build in Juneau? And we answer those questions as quickly as we can during the public comment period at the start or the end of our meetings. But mostly, it's people in the development community. Sometimes it's nonprofit people, mostly builders and developers.
Another question. One of the issues that we talked about during the, I guess, the Housing Development Fund, and when we sort of opted to move ahead in whatever steps we have done. We questioned whether or not there was enough financial people or general public that could help advise on how that fund should be used. And one of our, I think our recommendations basically was to, you know, the manager could add those people on since he, you know, were supervising the housing officer. So what would be the difference in your mind between the manager when he gets around to once a year to look at the Housing Development Fund, pulling together an ad hoc committee that met the needs of the finance developers, whatever, versus having the Housing Commission on, you know, meeting four times a year and the manager needing your advice once?
Right. It would depend on the of the scope of the mission. That's where we actually passed a motion, and I believe somewhere in one of the letters I sent to you spoke to that, is that when we endorsed the idea of having a once-a-year round for submissions for the Affordable Housing Fund, we endorsed that. But it was with the proviso or recommendation, however you want to call it, that it include at least three or four members of the public. For some reason, that was changed when it came back to you to perhaps one member of the public. But we felt it was really critical that there be somebody that had experience in managing affordable housing projects, somebody that had experience in financing affordable housing projects, somebody had experience in developing affordable housing projects. At a minimum, those three. And it probably wouldn't hurt to have another legal mind on it, too, because that's a whole different arena, the aspects of that sort of development. I have a little bit of experience with land development, tax credit programs, affordable housing projects being built on land, and just the bit I've been around it, there are so many little things that a person who's not well-versed in it would never think of, and there are pitfalls that will show up down the road. So that's why we felt having at least three people, if not four, is kind of a standing panel, somebody that when one of these came in, those people would be available. We thought that was really important. We also felt that it was important that somebody be looking at the data that comes in quarterly, biannually, whatever it's going to be, semi-annually, be reviewed to see if the goals of the Housing Action Plan are really being met. Because like I say, you can interpret that data many different ways. The stuff we were presented a while back, if you look at it, you could look at it with one set of eyes, but then when you realize that when some of these houses come online, some of the ones that don't meet the goal of the price point of where they were culling for, they were looking at that price point, actually they do, because they were actually being bought as storage units with rentals. It doesn't take into consideration some of the alternative housing that's out there and some of it that's coming online. So once again, there's other factors in there that if you don't have a little more breadth of experience in the market, you might not realize what else is going on in the market. So once again, another set of eyes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually, my question was, you sort of answered it already. It's about who should be on that panel, because I agree with you that there should be more than sort of city staff on a panel reviewing the those proposals. And I was going to say, who do you think? And you said finance people, developer people, and managing people. Those are the three that you would recommend.
Right. People that actually are familiar with the ins and outs of managing affordable housing.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable proposal. So thank you for that. Thank you.
Sure.
Any more questions for Mr. Hanna? All right. Thank you, Mr. Hanna.
Thank you again.
Any other members of the public that would like to talk about on Resolution 2846? Come on up, Mr. Coogan.
With your permission.
Wayne Coogan, 3000 Fritz Cove. I've been on the Housing Commission for 5 years. I think this is my fifth year here. I needed to say, okay, first of all, I'm one of the few that voted to go ahead and disband, but now I'm ambivalent. Tomorrow I might say otherwise, so it changes from day to day depending on the situation I'm in at the point. So now, you know, we started out, I started out on the commission, and there was this money, this allocation of money, which was, I'm on the timer, right? Okay. So this allocation of money that had to get, that we need to invest, and it was troubling because it's very difficult to invest money when you're bound by city ordinances, and et cetera. I really do respect what Mr. Watt does because I don't know how he gets rid of all that money every month with all this bondage. So in any event, we tried to do this housing, this thing where you would lend money to people to build apartments in their homes. And we spent a whole year on that with all this rigmarole of checking with banks, regulators, and et cetera, et cetera. And eventually the light went on. I said, hey, let's just grant it to them. It was actually cheaper to give the money away than it was to try and lend it. All right? So now we've got, looks like, something in excess of $2 million here that needs to be invested or utilized somehow or another. And I would hate to see something, you know, it's very difficult to do that. For example, you all know about what happened on North Franklin. And so I set and dreamed up this thing where we could put the money to work immediately. And that's why I sent you that email of the plan. And so I think within a couple months, if we got our heads together with HSC, we could put the money to work. And I'm saying I don't see it being easy to do that in any other way. Over all the things we've looked at and all the attempts we've made, it is extremely difficult to put money to work because of all the bondage that you have. So I would leave it at that. I could take or leave the being on the commission or whatever. It's up to you guys. But I'm just saying, if you want to put the money to work, I mean, it's some of that money's been sitting around for 10 years because of the difficulty factor. So I'm saying I would suggest we put the money to work in the plan that I've thrown out there for you. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Kruger? Seeing and hearing none. Perfect. Any other member of the public come up?
Kathleen Strasbach, Willoughby Avenue, Juneau. I just have 2 points. Dave did a very thorough job of discussing our deliberations and discussions. I'm a member of the commission, and I haven't been there much longer than he has. But there are 2 points I wanted to bring forward. One of them is, in listening to those people on the commission who've been around longer than I have, had in, on the commission and in housing, there is a concern about maintenance of effort when there's no citizen committee. The specific incident that discussed was there was a task force. It ended. Nothing happened for several years, and so then the commission was formed, and then ultimately made permanent rather than having a sunset date. So the concern is from those members of the commission is that we have to make sure there's maintenance of effort following the housing plan, making the adjustments, and making sure that it remains a priority. So there's that. And then the second thing is with respect to the Affordable Housing Fund, I do hope that the staff continues the project of figuring out the best way to use that money, perhaps development, make the pool larger by seeking grants or creative use of city's bonding capacity. So that it can be, we can solve some of the problems that almost every project that comes to you has with getting over the hump of initiating construction. And so I do hope that that effort continues as well if you do disband us. But those are the two things of concern that just complete abandonment of the commission in any form may cause. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Strasbourg? Thank you. Any other member of the public that would like to speak on this resolution? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the assembly. Mr. Bryson.
Madam Mayor, I move that the city adopt resolution
2846A, the resolution repealing the resolution 2506 and disbanding the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission. And I object to it. Did I do that? Did I do that correctly, ma'am?
That's correct. Would you like to speak to your objection?
I would, Madam Mayor. My impression was that the Affordable Housing Commission felt like their chores had come to completion, or their task had come to completion, and that they were maybe didn't have a direction to go, or were no longer being effective. Hearing some of the additional responsibilities that could be bestowed upon them, to me it makes sense to keep the commission. And as we were just discussing in the Human Resource Committee, the importance of having citizen engagement, and we were about to look into the effectiveness of all of the boards and commissions, I think we'd be premature at disbanding the Affordable Housing Commission at this point.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bryson. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you. I don't have an objection or support, but I will point out that in the last two Human Resources Committees, we discussed the Affordable Housing Commission. The first time we did hear a few comments from Mr. Hanna, and we scheduled it for another meeting in order for him to go back and take a vote with his committee. They took a vote. He didn't come back the next time, I don't believe, but we were aware of the vote 4-2. So I'll just pass that on. So I apologize if that wasn't clear to Mr. Bryson. But that was a part of the discussion when the Human Resources Committee voted to disband.
Okay, thank you. Mrs. Hughes-Gandies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would just add on to that, as you did receive a report from that next commission meeting, which I was the liaison to, and they took a vote to disband it initially. And I don't remember the total, but it was more than two. It had a little bit of traction. And then after much discussion, then they took a vote to keep it going. So that's probably where some of your confusion came from. And just while I'm speaking, I would speak in support of this resolution in part based on that meeting that I was able to attend of the commission, because I feel like, just like we were discussing this evening in the Human Resources Committee, making sure that for everyone who's giving their time to the commission, it has been greatly appreciated, and they have done a lot on that commission. But making sure that their time is used worthwhile, I think right now it's a sort of a good stopping point with our housing officer and the Housing Action Plan.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I struggle with this one because I do appreciate citizens' input. In fact, I really hate acting without it in some cases. But I struggle with this one given the years on the Assembly and the various reports we've gotten and how we sort of had to bring in outside people anyway, the housing study. We decided to bring in a housing manager and our housing officer. I'm going to support this, but I would like to have the manager take a look at one of the paragraphs that he has in his report, and basically said that the tasks previously assigned can now be managed by the housing officer, the community development department, the planning commission, and the assembly. And yet, Mr. Hanna mentioned mistakes at Pedersen Hill, which I guess either I haven't heard of, or he's talking about something he knows that I don't know, which is possible, probably useful. But I know that that comes from the lands committee and from the land staff, not from the housing officer. And hopefully when he talks about the assembly, he's talking about the lands committee. And I'm confused oftentimes between what's the responsibility of the lands committee and what the housing and all of that stuff. So maybe the manager can take that paragraph, figure out internally how he could put together an ad hoc group of those folk and a couple other people, and then 6 months from now decide that we have to go back and relook and we'll have a mission for somebody. because it seems to me, not being on the Lands Committee, probably a more consistent no vote on most of the housing stuff, that I get real confused between who's responsible for what within the city. I sit through most of the Planning Commission meetings. I get more confused. And so maybe putting this back on the manager by eliminating this committee, we might get some clarity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Blashef.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. To build on what Mr. Jones said regarding responsibilities, I do think that the Lands Committee, the chair would have to agree, but could take on a lot of these tasks, among several of the tasks that Mr. Hanna mentioned, a review of the data, some of the tasks that Ms. Strassbaugh mentioned as well, continuing to be the cattle prod under the Endeavor. I think that that's really can happen, certainly with the whole assembly, but certainly the Lands Committee can continue to do that. I do agree, however, that the proposals for the housing fund should be reviewed by more than city staff and one member of the public. I think that that would be they're complicated issues, and I would hope that we could get at least three people from the public to do that. So I would vote in favor of this motion with the understanding that these tasks need to be farmed out and bird-dogged on the assembly and with some additions to the review committee for the housing fund. Thank you.
Any other comments? Mr. Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we could get into semantics all day long. There's definitely, housing is obviously a very complicated issue. But right now we have the chair of this board or committee asking to remain as a committee. They're asking to take on responsibility that we obviously have tasks that we could charge them with. They're willing to volunteer their time. They have expertise in a housing area where we may have a limited experience and knowledge here on this assembly. And again, that's why I would be in favor for continuing the Juneau Affordable Housing Commission. Thank you, Madam.
All right, we have a motion and we have objection. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Bryson, for the adoption of Resolution 2846.
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyshevsky?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Scandies?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion carries 6-2.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And although the motion carries, I believe both the city manager and myself have heard that another type of group might be well served, so we'll look into that. And Mr. Hanna, we will probably use some of your questions, so thank you.
All right, continuing on with public hearing, we'll go to Ordinance 2018-11. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2018-11AD, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $1,300,000 as funding for the Bartlett Regional Hospital Pharmacy Clean Room Renovation Capital Improvement Project. Funding provided by Bartlett Regional Hospital Funds Fund Balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $1,300,000 from the fiscal year 19 Bartlett Regional Hospital operational budget to a new capital improvement project, BRH Pharmacy Clean Room Renovation. This project will create a pharmacy space to safely handle drugs necessary for the oncology unit. This project is needed to bring BRH into compliance with the requirements of USP 800, hazardous drugs handling in healthcare settings, and USP 797, pharmaceutical compounding sterile preparations. BRH must be in compliance with federal requirements by December 1, 2019. This topic was approved by the Public Works and Facilities Committee on February 4, 2019. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak on this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it it back to the Assembly. Ms. Hughes-Scandes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move Ordinance 2018-11AD and ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, the ordinance passes. Okay, that brings us to unfinished business. And because this involves me, I am passing the gavel to Ms. Lashevsky.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So we're on item A, NCL invitation for four-day cruise on the Joy for the Mayor and Manager. Mr. Manager?
I'll take this one.
Mr. Palmer? Okay.
Norwegian Cruise Lines has invited the mayor and city manager to travel on the four-day inaugural United States cruise of the Joy. NCL established the value of the cruise to be $99. The CBJ Conflict of Interest Code generally prohibits gifts of more than $50, except the Assembly may authorize the travel for the mayor and manager if four conditions are satisfied. The attached memo explains the four conditions. That's on page 77 of the packet. If the Assembly determines the four conditions are satisfied, then the Assembly has discretion to authorize the mayor and manager to travel on the Joy. Alternatively, the Assembly may deny the travel for any reason or no reason at all.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Is there anyone in the public that would like to testify on this item? Hearing no one. Anyone else on this panel wants to say anything?
Madam Deputy Mayor, I'll help you a little bit here. I do recognize that the public perception of this could be negative. And I think the Assembly has to weigh the potential positive benefits against that negative perception. I think it's no secret that CBJ has been in litigation the last 3 years with CLIA, the trade organization that represents the cruise lines of the larger ships that come to Juneau, and the relationship between CBJ and CLIA has been strained, I think it's fair to say. The trip could have some public benefits in that there will be representatives from other port communities. And I think what would be of interest to CBJ is how those port communities, learning how those port communities interact with the cruise ship companies, specifically how they impose fees, how they expend fees, the types of services that they provide. How communities fund and build infrastructure. Having said that, that could be learned other ways. I think this presents an opportunity for a group of people that from port communities on the West Coast that would not typically get together and share that type of exchange of ideas. So I think that is one possible way that CBJ could benefit. I would say, as your manager, I don't particularly understand the onboard operations of ships in the way that customers learn about port communities, in the way that shore excursions are sold, in the way that people are dispatched. And I think there's something to be learned there. Again, this would not be the only way to learn that type of information. We have also learned through the litigation that the different cruise lines have different interests, different approaches. And through the litigation, we have come to learn about the details of some of those companies. Norwegian has been a lesser participant in the litigation efforts, and this would be an opportunity to learn directly about Norwegian and the way Norwegian approaches it. All that said, I feel compelled to give you a recommendation, and I'm going to give you a really soft one. I think there is value that could be gained, and the value that would outweigh the negatives, although I'm not going to push you very hard on this. In some ways, I feel like I'm arguing a little bit against one of my weekends, which are, as far as I'm concerned, a scarce resource. So I won't be disappointed if I get to spend that weekend at home.
But I do think there is some gain that the city could get. Those would be the comments that I would offer you on this topic. In the end, I think there is value in sending myself and I think the mayor, but I think there are countering arguments that are valid as well.
So I would ask the assembly if anyone has questions or comments, Mr. Edwardson, and then Mr. Jones, and Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose this. And it's for a number of different reasons. One of the reasons that I oppose it is I do think that it's meant to influence. And I don't necessarily mean that in a good way. I don't see anything sinister. I'm a fan of the cruise lines. I'm a fan of Norwegian. But I don't think that it's appropriate that we accept gifts to send to officials on a trip. If we thought, on the other hand, that there was value to them, to people becoming more aware of the port operations in different ports of Southeast Alaska, those are not the two positions that I would pick. I would not pick the manager and the mayor. I would pick maybe the city attorney and the port director, people who would be dealing with it up front. And if I were to approve of something like this, it would be to pay full cost to make that happen, rather than accepting an extremely discounted ticket or a gift to do it. Thank you.
Mr. Jones, and then Mr. Bryson.
Thank you. I, too, if a motion is made or even necessary, would oppose this. If you look at the attorney's memo, it says the travel exceptions, one, the benefits to the public resulting from travel clearly outweigh the determinant cause by the absence of the officer. I don't think that's true. I don't think this meets the test. The nature and extent of the transportation hospitality provided is economical, business-like, and necessary. I don't think it passes that test. I don't think anybody on that cruise is going to pay $99 for 4 days. I doubt that you could get a ticket to get to Vancouver to get on the ship for less than that. It seems to me that if the manager's reasons for wanting to be with other port people, to meet with Norwegian, to understand the operation, it would be just as easy, I think, to have an all-day seminar when it's docked all day in Ketchikan or docked all day in Juneau and invite all those people, go on board, spend the day, and then go back to your duty. You don't need to spend 4 days on the cruise. I think that, as Mr. Edwardson said, it is meant to influence. And I think that works both ways. I think the acceptance is to try to influence them and try to influence other port directors to view some of the issues in our minds in the way we view it. I've always had sort of a condition, and I don't think this passed the red face test. I don't think I could stand up before a public and defend this and not blush a little bit. So I'm going to oppose it for that reason. I think there are alternatives to meeting the benefits of getting people together to try to understand the operations, to meet with other port people and with the cruise people. But I think you can do that without doing a four-day trip and pass the red face test that this cruise values only $99. Thank you.
Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to disagree with my co-assembly members. I absolutely see an extremely high value of understanding for both city manager and Mayor Weldon. I, as Mr. Jones was reading, to me it did kind of pass those tests because seeing the operations from the other side is incredibly valuable. And then this was not a pleasure cruise to Hawaii. This was the inaugural trip, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was from L.A. to Seattle or Seattle to L.A.?
Vancouver to L.A.
Vancouver to L.A. So this isn't a Caribbean cruise. This is the inaugural. We're driving it down the coast. That would be my reasoning why they would only be a $99 trip, and that actually, as the cruise industry sometimes deeply discounts, especially in the non-season or in the off-season time, I've seen advertisements for $99 cruises. I didn't see that was outside of the line. I would fully expect that both the city manager and the mayor would be working in some capacity on all 4 days, including their weekends, acting not only as dignitaries for the city, but meeting critical personnel in the cruise line industry, but also, as you mentioned, in your counterparts in other cities, the information that would be gained from this perspective would be invaluable and could not be gained in other ways. I would have to disagree with those statements, saying that the information could be gained, because being on the boat, being behind the scenes while they're going through these ports, speaking with the actual crew members that participate in this, and with it being the inaugural trip and having other city officials in your position in a setting that can't be duplicated. I absolutely could defend this to the public and I would imagine if we do approve of something like this, I'll get a fair opportunity to be able to speak publicly in favor of this, because I see the city of Juneau benefiting from the two of you having this extensive knowledge of seeing the cruise industry from that point of view. And as Mr. Manager Watt pointed out, we have had contentious times over the last couple of years. And to put our officials onto a inaugural trip lets them know that we don't have hard feelings. It helps build those relationships. It helps strengthen those relationships and probably repair some relationships. And so I would absolutely fully support this, and I would have no problem speaking to the public on behalf of this.
Any other comments? Ms. Hughes-Scandy, and then Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. Looking this one over and looking at the city attorney's memo and the travel exception, while I can find reasons on both sides where it might benefit the city, it might not, I find that I can't answer all four items affirmatively. And the memo instructs me then the assembly must deny the travel, so I'm going to be against this.
Thank you. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Deputy. I would hope that on a trip like this, I think we're all talking about how much influence they would have on Mr. Watt and Ms. Weldon. I would think we could have quite a bit of influence and try to get maybe their opinions about things they've heard because of CLIA or that they've just heard from other ships. And there could be clarification, and there could be some things that will end up serving us well, and they could end up being an example to what other ships should behave, how they should behave if they come here, because I don't know that we have, you know, roaring love and success with all the cruise lines. But if we got one that actually could see our point of view on a number of things and they were advocate for them, I think it could be beneficial. I'm not concerned about the $99, although I would like to find one of those cruises, or the 4 days. I think it has benefit to us as well as, I'm sure, to them. They're looking for the benefit, but I think we can have a benefit, too, by just finding out types of things that the cruise ships are talking about. And I don't know. I think the way you pass the red face test or whatever is you act like, if we voted on this to have it go, then we would have to act like, yes, this was a very important thing. We'd have to be supportive of it. That's what we'd have to do. Otherwise, if we can't do that, then we probably shouldn't vote for them to go, because we have to know that this is something we think is okay and it will benefit us. So I'm going to vote for it.
Okay, so Madam Mayor will be recused from this vote. And any other comments, anybody? I'll just comment that I think the trip would. I have spent quite a bit of time on ships, and it is. I think both the manager and the mayor would benefit from understanding all of that. And I also think that they should pay for that. So I'll vote against this for the free part. I think that if we think it's a benefit to the city, and I do think it would be, that the city should then pay for that and to learn that. So that's how I'll be voting. Any other comments? Mr. Jones.
Not a comment, but since we've all sort of said how we're going to vote, I'm trying to figure out whether to do this in the positive and then vote against it or do it in a negative. I'm going to move that the assembly deny the travel.
Mr. Jones, I think the proper motion is in the affirmative.
All right. And then I would move that the assembly authorize the mayor and the manager to travel on the Joy, and I would recommend a no vote.
Madam Clerk.
May I?
Oh, yep, Mr.
I'd like to amend that motion and to say to approve it and to ask that the manager and the mayor pay the $99.
So the motion is to amend the motion and add that the city pay for the cruise.
I object.
Or the two individuals pay for the cruise. If you don't want the city to pay for it.
Mr. Edwardson. I go ahead.
No, that's all right. Mr. Jones objected.
Yeah, I objected.
Ms. Becker, if you would clarify which it is, who should pay? It seems to me if there's a benefit, the city should pay.
I'm perfectly fine with that. I just didn't know if we'd have another fuss about the city putting $99 out. I think it's going to benefit the city. So I will go ahead and say that the city should pay for this, not the ships.
Okay, so that you've heard the amendment. Well, you understand the amendment. We'll vote on the amendment. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. So for the amendment for the city to pay the $99 each for the mayor and the manager to go on the Joy Cruise, Ms. Becker.
Yes.
Mr. Bryson.
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson.
No.
Ms. Hugh Scandies.
No.
Mr. Jones.
No.
Ms. Treen.
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
Yes.
Motion fails 3-4.
Okay. So we're back to the main motion. Madam Clerk.
So for the motion for the mayor and the manager to accept the invitation for the 4-day cruise on the Joy. Let me look at my notes for just a moment. Mr. Jones made that motion. Okay. Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Treen?
No.
Ms. Hughes Candies?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Motion fails. 2-5.
Okay, thank you very much. I will turn this back over to
thank
the
you.
Mayor.
Okay, with that, let's take a break till 8:15.
5G internet is on the way.
Imagine downloading HD movies in a minute rather than half an hour.
And more, 5G could allow self-driving cars to talk to each other in real time. Doctors could start examining patients while they're still in the ambulance. That, plus the latest on the president's national emergency declaration and the tornadoes in Alabama. On the next All Things Considered from NPR News.
We'll be right back.
1,000 miles is a long journey under the best conditions, but behind a dog team through the wilderness in extreme weather, it is a daunting challenge. That's the essence of the Iditarod, bringing together tough human and animal athletes for the yearly Race to Nome. Race veterans bring their stories of past adventure on the trail and their hope for the future of the race to the next Talk of Alaska.
Tuesday morning at 10 on KTOO Juneau.
You're tuned to KTOO Juneau. The time is 8:05. We've been listening to the CBJ assembly meeting, and they have gone on a short break. Tonight, the weather is mostly clear, lows around 15, and tomorrow sunny, highs around 40.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. New business is the terraces at Lawson Creek versus CBJ Assessor. The clerk's office received a timely filed appeal for the terraces at Lawson Creek regarding the assessor office denial of a 2019 request for a charitable exemption. Recall this property was recently denied the same exemption for 2018. The property owner was contemplating appeal of the 2018 decision to Superior Court, which it would have been due today. I have been told that it was not filed. In accordance with the appeals code, the CBJ Assembly must decide whether to accept or reject the appeal. If you determine, after liberally construing the notice of appeal in order to preserve the rights of the appellant, that there has been a failure to comply with the appellate rules, or if the notice of appeal does not state grounds upon which any relief requested may be granted, you may reject the appeal. If the appeal is accepted, you must decide whether the Assembly will hear the appeal itself or if it will assign the appeal to a hearing officer. If you decide to hear the appeal yourselves, a presiding officer should be appointed. In hearing an appeal, the Assembly sits in its quasi-judicial capacity and must avoid discussing the case outside of the hearing process.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. So we have to decide as a body whether we're going to accept the appeal or not. What is the will of the body? Ms. Flesha?
I move that the city accept the appeal and the Assembly hear the appeal.
Thank you for the motion. Any objections? Mr. Jones?
I object. I think if this is identical enough to what we just heard, which was the hearing officer on the 2018 appeal, then I think we have our answer, unless something's changed in law. Secondly, I think, and the attorney will hold up his hand if I go too far, but since we're supposed to be judging this on appeal, but when we looked at that appeal, I had mentioned that they probably already had a pretty significant discount to the property, and the amount of tax they were paying was on that highly discounted amount. Okay, I won't go there. So I think we, if the assessor denied it based on the court or the hearing that we accepted, then I don't think we have grounds to accept the appeal because it's exactly the same thing.
Thank you. My understanding is that it is based on the same exemption that's being requested. I don't know right now if there's any different facts that are underlying this appeal. And so I think the better course of valor on this one for the time being would possibly be to accept it and then see what the appellant wants to do. I wouldn't be surprised if given my understanding that they did not appeal to the Superior Court, that this may have been actually filed as a protective appeal, and it might be withdrawn or dismissed before the next assembly meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I support the Deputy Mayor on this. I think we should hear the appeal for the same thing that the attorney said. It looks like they've complied with the appeal requirements, and we're not going to know the facts until we hear it.
I was just going to say that the city attorney has reviewed the legal matters regarding whether this is a proper to accept. So I am basing this on the city attorney's opinion, and it's not about the discussion here is not about the merits. It's just about whether we're going to hear the appeal or not. So.
Thank you. See no more hands. Madam Clerk. For the motion to accept the appeal and for the Assembly to hear the appeal, Ms. Vodashevsky.
Yes.
Ms. Becker.
Yes.
Mr. Bryson.
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Huskandes?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Treen?
No.
Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, so we are going to accept the appeal, and I agree with Ms. Glaszewski that we should keep it within the spotting, so I would appoint Ms. Glaszewski as the presiding officer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Any objections to that? Seeing and hearing none, she has accepted. All right, that brings us to item B, Mr. Attorney.
Thank you. This is Harris Homes LLC versus the Community Development Director. I will read the first paragraph and then summarize the last. The clerk's office received a timely filed appeal from Harris Homes LLC from the Planning Commission decision to dismiss an appeal of a Community Development Director decision. The Planning Commission's written decision is dated February 26, 2019. In accordance with the appeals code, the assembly must decide whether to accept or reject the appeal. If you determine after liberally construing the notice of appeal, in order to preserve the rights of the appellant, that there has been a failure to comply with the appellate rules, or if the appeal does not state grounds upon which any of the relief requested may be granted, you may reject the appeal. If the appeal is accepted, you must decide whether the assembly will hear the appeal itself or if it will assign the appeal to a hearing officer. If you decide to hear the appeal yourself, a presiding officer should be appointed. In hearing the appeal, the assembly sits in its quasi-judicial capacity and must avoid discussing the case outside of the hearing process.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Ms. Glaszewski?
I would move that the assembly accept the appeal and appoint a hearing officer because of some of the peculiarities of the situation here.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor.
I would ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, we're accepting the appeal and we're going to appoint a hearing officer. All right, item C has already been taken care of, so we'll move to item D. And I believe, Mr. Manager, you're going to take this one.
Madam Mayor, on February 25th, the clerk's office received notice from the Alcohol Marijuana Control Office, AMCO, that it had denied Taku Lanes LLC its recreational site license in accordance with AS 0411330A6, which states an application requesting renewal of a license shall be denied if renewal of the license would violate restrictions pertaining to the particular license under this title or the license have been operated in violation of a condition or restriction imposed by the board. The Alcoholic Beverage Control Board determined Taku Lanes did not meet or they determined no longer met a definition of a recreational site in order to qualify for a recreational site license under AS 0411210, which states holder of a recreational site license may sell beer and wine at a recreational site during and 1 hour before and after a recreational event that is not a school event for consumption on designated areas at the site. In this section, recreational site includes a location where baseball games, car races, hockey games, dog sled racing events, or curling matches are regularly held during a season. Taku Lanes has 15 days to request an appeal of the ABC board's decision. Had AMCO not denied Taku Lanes' renewal request, this license would have been listed under consent agenda for assembly approval. This license added to new business to keep the assembly up to date. No action is needed from the assembly at this time. I will note that this is frustrating for the owner of Taku Lanes. I spoke to her this afternoon, and she said that she and a family member between them have held a recreational site license for the last 13 years. It appears that prior business owners have had it before then. So the denial is a result, in my view, of AMCO changing their view of what a recreational site license is. So it's an informational topic. I don't know if the assembly wishes to weigh in on this topic. I know it's a topic that comes up at the legislature and at the state quite a bit currently because of the changing interpretation of what the statute means.
Thank you. I think thanks for the information. I would, in their defense, the last two legislative audits that have been done on AMCO, one prior to them taking on the marijuana business, so it was just on the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, cited the fact that the Alcohol Control Board had not been following the statute on recreational licenses for a number of years. It is not staff reinterpreting. It is trying to comply with legislative audit, which you don't do at your peril. Last year, they talked about denying the state fair. They denied Eagle Crest. They denied a ski area and then reversed themselves up in Anchorage after political issues. Legislature at the end of last session tried to fix that legislatively, and it got bogged in with the distilleries and all kinds of other stuff, and Title IV rewrite, which might have fixed it, didn't pass. So while I agree it's frustrating for people that have it, the state fair for one, several others, talk to Lanes, there is the only fix is to fix it legislatively. Nothing we can do. And if the five members of the board want to ignore the legislative audit report that's been done twice and continue on that, then I think they do it at some risk, and they probably won't do that. So if we as an assembly want to look at potential legislation or support legislation that gets introduced, I think we could do that. But just in and of itself, I don't think there's any, there's no way for us to intervene given the ruling they've had from legislative audit twice.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I understand where Mr. Jones is coming from. However, it's not the board that's suffering. It's people who've been checking all the boxes for 13 years and maybe longer. So they've done what they were expected, obviously. They've been licensed for 13 years. And then a body that was supposed to be doing something one way and apparently wasn't changes things midstream. And there's no consequences for that body, but there are consequences for our citizens who have been following what they've been told to follow. And now they can't conduct business as they have. So I would be in favor of some sort of a resolution supporting a legislative fix to this, not just for the bowling alley, but for any of our other organizations, any of our other businesses in Juneau that have been negatively affected by this massive shift, basically.
Anybody else want to weigh in? I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I agree with Mr. Edwardson, and I think if we're going to pass any strongly worded and diplomatic resolutions, it should be about this issue. And I think that AMCO has taken on this activism role that, you know, is not appropriate. And I think they had board members say that they were holding the state fair hostage, and I don't think that's an appropriate role for AMCO, and because it's negatively affecting business owners, and those are the ones who are suffering, and I think they need to back off a little bit. So that's my comment on this issue.
All right, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would have to concur with my co-assembly members that this is harmful to local Juneau businesses. But it's also harmful to sales tax revenue, which we get from these sales. I'm sure Mr. Jones has a longer list, a knowledge of the businesses that were impacted, including Alaska Travel Adventures, which held a beer and wine license for many, many years at the end of their rafting trips,
Eagle Crest. I was told that they were going to be able to sell alcohol, and that got rejected. So I would be in support of some type of resolution requesting that this matter be filled. The other component that I wanted to add is that we're not the only city that has been impacted by this, and our neighboring cities in Southeast Alaska have also lost recreational beer and wine licenses. And so this has a regional and statewide effect. And putting our 2 cents in would probably be helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Price. Ms. Vasquez.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If this is what the statute says, it says what a recreational site is. And while I understand that some businesses have received a recreational site license, it's not what those things that people have just mentioned are not on this list. Baseball game, car races, hockey games, dog sled racing, or curling matches. So if anyone needs amending, if it needs amending, the legislature needs to add it to this bill. So I don't know that we need a resolution, or else we just ask our lobbyist to add this to his list for the bill that's currently in motion. And I don't object to that. I'm just saying it's not AMCO. It is the statute, the definition in the statute that needs to be changed. So I would think that we could ask our lobbyist to, we're already in there for Eagle Crest, and we could be in there for this too.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, so I asked the lobbyist the question if the assembly wanted to weigh in on this issue, what the best way to do it, and his advice was not specifically. So there is a bill in the legislature that, as I understand it, has been amended for ski areas, not at the request of myself or the assembly, but by other people who have been working the legislature. And so I believe the Eagle Crest license, if that bill passes, would be solved. But the lobbyist's recommendation was that we just simply let him know that we'd like him to work on this issue, and whatever the best path was, he would try and figure that out without getting too specific. And the clerk advised that there indeed are other recreational licenses that are likely to get denied on renewal in Juneau.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If we're not going to do a resolution, if we're going to depend on the lobbyist, then I would like reports back as to what's happening with this regularly. The other thing that I'll point out is, having been a regulator for a long time, the way that I interpret things has a lot to do with whether somebody else is complying with laws or not. The laws can say something in a specific way, but if I'm enforcing it in another way, and it's not correct, then I could be causing harm. And I think that's what they've done in this case. They're causing harm by the way that they interpreted the law. And not everything has to be listed on there. Just because bowling isn't listed on there, if they interpreted it using a just and generous to say this is similar enough to this list of things, and they used that to approve it, then the applicants were going by the straight and narrow. And then all of a sudden, because the state chooses to interpret it differently, somebody's business is in jeopardy.
I just asked you a question, Mr. Edgerton. What would you think would be timely reporting back?
Daily, but I would. But I would settle for our meetings with all of us present.
Okay, thank you. So the next one's private science. Ms. Trina, do you have your hand up?
No.
Okay. All right. So I don't know if there's actually a motion that needs to be made other than, does anybody object with Mr. Manager working with our lobbyists to try and correct this and reporting back in our next meeting that we're all at? Okay. Seeing and hearing none? That's what your assignment is, Mr. Manager.
May I have a question? How about we just say the committee of the whole, because the next meeting we'll all be at is going to be on Wednesday.
Okay. Committee of the whole.
That's a good point.
All right. So that leaves us. Do you have any questions on that, Mr. Manager? You good?
No.
That leads us to item E. And Mr. Manager, it's you again.
Madam Mayor, in your packet is a resolution regarding the state budget, but there is an updated one in your red folder. The Assembly has requested a strongly worded and diplomatic resolution that expresses its dismay at the budget that has been submitted to the legislature by the governor and his administration. I recommend you review the red folder version, edit this draft as you see fit, and pass with unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. So we'll take a few minutes to read this, although I think a lot of them were just grammatical.
Can you just say, were there anything significant that changed from the first version to the, or the version in our packet versus this one?
Madam Deputy Mayor, the English was cleaned up and made more precise, and the ordering was changed, and there were a few grammatical changes, but there were not substantive changes in my view.
Thank you.
Is there anybody still reading that I'm missing? All right, looks like Mr. Edwardson had his hand up.
I just have one recommended addition, and it's not that long. So whenever anybody's ready. The Assembly of the City and Borough of Juneau.
Which section are you?
This would be an additional section, and it would go wherever. I have it written between one and two.
And a whereas or a?
So the Assembly of the City and Borough of Juneau asks that the legislature table the February 13th, 2019 governor's amended budget and use the governor's budget submitted December 13th, 2018 budget as the working draft.
Could you do that one more time? Use the December 14th
budget as its working draft. And basically that would mean any discussions that they use would use the December 14th budget and not the amended budget to begin and frame the discussions.
Let me just ask the body first. Are there going to be a lot of changes? I'm trying to figure out how to handle this the best. Is there going to be lots of changes?
My two cents, Madam Mayor, I don't know. Everybody else, I had one proposed deletion, which is a wholesale deletion, and I can offer that up, and, you know, maybe you'll agree.
I'm thinking that maybe we'll have, because I should have to make a motion and then use them as amendments, and then we can vote on the amendments. Ms. Lanishevsky, can we go to you for a motion?
Okay, first? I move adoption of serial number 2850, the red folder version.
Mr. Edwardson has a motion or amendment to that.
I move to amend by adding a section. And that section would read, the Assembly of the City and Borough of Juneau asks that the legislature table the February 13th, 2019 governor's amended budget and use the December 14th governor's budget at December 14th, 2018 governor's budget as its working draft.
Okay, are there any objections to
my question? Seeing that I couldn't tell you what December 14th says, what is it that's so different from February 13th that causes heartburn?
The December 14th budget is largely the same as a budget from the last two fiscal years. And it has the documentation, the explanations, the backup that's required to be with budgets. The February 13th budget is a remarkable shift in almost every aspect. It lacks the required documentation and the reasoning that's required for the legislature to make decisions on whether or not they want to accept the changes. So that's basically it. The amended budget moves the window so far that it could make basically ridiculous changes seem reasonable by comparison. So I'll give an example. An example would be $92 million cut from the Marine Highway System. So that's what the amended budget has. The previous budget has a scaled version of the previous budget year, which is basically a flat, flat from year to year. So the amended budget has $92 million. If we're using the amended budget as the working document, then you could say, oh, we're only going to cut $45 million. And that would seem like a huge concession if we're using the reference frame of the amended budget. But it's still ridiculous. So that's why I'm recommending using the budget that the governor submitted on the 14th. Both of them are subject to changes and amendments and negotiations. But if you use the one that was submitted in December, then it would be reasonable to expect that the administration provide sound reasoning to the legislature of why it would want to do these huge changes.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Ask a question? So, I have a question. So, I mean, can the legislature even do that? The governor has changed swap it out. I don't want you to look at that. I want you to look at this one. Is that a thing? Can they go back to the old one?
Question, Ms. Blanchard.
The legislators are the appropriators, not the governor's office. The governor's office puts in budget requests. He's allowed to put in an amendment. That doesn't mean that they have to accept the amendment.
Okay. Any other comments? Any objections? Mr. Jones.
I would object. I think that gets a little too specific. I think a lot of subcommittees have already met. I think the Senate is taking a slightly different approach than the House from what I hear. But I think some of the committees are going back to what they call the management plan, which is basically the budget under which the operating agencies are operating under today. And that's different from the December 14th budget submitted by the governor. So on that sense, I think it's it puts something in here that we don't need and that will have very little value. So I'm going to object.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I like the point that Mr. Edwardson is making that using the newest budget makes drastic cuts look more reasonable. So Could we, instead of saying, specifying that December 14th budget, say what Mr. Jones just said, the management plan or the current FY19 budget?
So
that's kind of a question for Mr. Edwardson.
Yes, we could, but you would have to ask him to do a friendly amendment or amend it.
That's
Mr. Edwardson, let's see what he has to say first.
a couple of things, and first it's to address what Mr. Jones's objection. Many of us were in the AML meeting where the Speaker of the House, Edgemond, was speaking, and also the House Finance Co-Chair, Tammy Wilson, was speaking. And if you were listening to what they were talking about, Representative Edgemond wanted to use the previous budget submission as the working document, and Representative Wilson wanted to use the governor's amended as a working document, and there was specific reason for that. As far as the management plan, I mean, I would settle for the management plan, but the management plan is a mishmash of decisions that they did to adjust the governor's budget from the previous year. So I just thought it would be cleaner using the governor's submission from December.
Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to object, and I agree with what Mr. Jones says. I hear where you're coming from, Mr. Edwardson, but at this point, I think there might be too many plans on the table for us to specify one. Of course, we object to the objection also. So, that being said, Madam Clerk, for the amendment.
For the amendment from Mr. Edwardson to add a section reading, the Assembly of the City and Borough of Juneau asked the legislature to table the February 13, 2019 governor's amended budget and use the December 14, 2018 governor's budget as its working draft. Mr. Edwardson.
Yes.
Ms. Treen.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
No.
Ms. Hughes-Scandies.
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Bryson?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mayor Weldon?
No.
Motion to amend fails.
Thank you. Ms. Hughes-Andes, you said you had something to add or delete.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move to amend the resolution by deleting wholesale section one. So it would begin after the therefores with section two. And I can speak to that if you want me to, or I can just offer that amendment.
It's up to you.
I'll just say that I feel that there's no need for this to be in here. This doesn't really do anything to soften it. The rest, I think the tone is correct. I don't think we necessarily gain anything by this section. And in fact, speaking of red face tests, I cannot, in a good conscience, appreciate any work that this administration has done, because there's been shockingly little work done in preparing this budget. And what's being demonstrated as the House and the Senate are taking a look at this budget is that there's a real lack of research that backs up this budget. So I would ask you to remove it.
All right. Thank you for that. Any objections? Ms. Becker.
I just would say that I agree. I didn't like this, but I accept it more where it is now than where it was before, because I felt it was very misplaced before and gave a much looser type of feeling. I think you'd almost run over it because you've already got all these other things and there's still more, but I would agree. It is not necessary to me, and it makes it sound like we're appreciative and we kind of think there should be what he's doing, and I can't go that way, so I think I agree. I wouldn't want to have it in here. I don't want it in here.
Any objections? All right. No objections. So motion
That motion passes. All right. Any other additions or deletions? Ms. Stream.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm sorry. I'm going to do a little tiny bit of wordsmithing because I wasn't here last week, and I think this is important. I would like to amend the third whereas clause to add a short phrase and say, whereas Juneau could lose hundreds of public sector and private sector jobs, and I think saying that is important because a lot of people outside of Juneau have this impression that we're just a government city and that's all we do. And I want to drive home the fact that this budget is going to have much more far-reaching impacts than just state jobs.
So basically you're adding public and private sector as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Any objections to that addition? Good, that might be a simple one. Thank you. Okay?
We have that answer.
Okay. What else do we have? Seeing and hearing nothing, we'll go back to the motion. Ms. Ladashevsky asked for unanimous consent. Is there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, resolution 2850 passes.
That's great.
Okay, and that brings us to
as amended.
Sorry, thank you. All righty, so that brings us to staff reports.
No staff report, thank you.
Wow. Okay, so that brings us to assembly report, which brings us to the mayor's report. So I, along with several of my colleagues, attended the Southeast Conference. And it's always good to get with our Southeast neighbors and talk about some of our kind of more local concerns in the neighborhood. And a shout out to Mr. Venables for a lovely conference. So a lot of hard work was done by many to make it happen. So, and several of our Southeast neighbors were interested in what was happening with our cruise ship litigation, and there was a good discussion with Mr. Watt and Mr. Binkamp on that, so that was good. So I also attended, again, with many of my colleagues, Alaska Municipal League and the Conference of Mayors. And, of course, our main discussion there was how the governor's proposed budget impacts our municipalities and trying to get people to get engaged with their legislatures about their concerns. So, and Mr. Watt just gave a nice synopsis on these impacts on Juneau at the Juneau Chamber here just the other day. So, and we'll hope to get that out to more and more people, which I'll talk about at the end of my chat. So, I also attended the Innovation Summit, and JEDC once again put on a great conference. There's always lots of good, fun energy in the room and lots of great ideas going around. This year's theme was Design Alaska's Future, and they did a great job. Unfortunately, I got ill, and I couldn't make the second day, but I did get to hear their keynote speaker from Iceland, which I won't even try the last name, that was talking about tourism and the quickly growing tourism and Iceland and how they're dealing with that. So I got to drop the puck for the annual Whitehorse Juneau hockey game, and fortunately we were poor hosts and we won again. So, but that was fun. I also got to welcome the AEYC symposium and the Japanese consul and the Alaska Library Conference. So those were all fun events. So, and as part of being mayor, you donate lunches with the mayor, and so someone turned one of those in, and so I had a great lunch discussion with the Northrim Bank Leadership Group, and that was fun to hear a lively discussion from one of the financial groups in town. So I know there's a couple more lunches out there, so I'll look forward to having lunch with some other folks. I got to be the keynote speaker on Saturday for the Boy Scout Award Dinner, in which they awarded their Eagle Scout and Silver Beaver Awards, and that was pretty great. For there were several Eagle Scouts off the top of my head, I want to say 7 or 8, and all their projects around town you can see. So, and that's a pretty big class for Eagle Scouts, so pretty impressive. And luckily I knew almost all the young men, so that was fun. So I've been enjoying the nice weather with my dog, Chloe, and been around the lakes and stuff. But just a friendly reminder to everybody that it is springtime, and make sure you really watch the ice before you get out on it this time of the year. So we don't have to make our fire department do their ice rescue. So the only thing that I wanted to bring up was in Alaska Municipal League, they asked us to hold town halls, and I don't know if you want to assigned Mr. Watt and myself and anybody else that wants to participate in trying to make some dates for some town halls. Is that something that the assembly would desire us to do? So I'm seeing nodded of heads. So is anybody opposed to that? So, okay, Mr. Watt, we have an assignment. So, and that's all I have for tonight. So we'll start with you way down there, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 19th, the Planning Commission simply went through the CIP list. We saw a presentation on Lemon Creek gravel extraction, where they removed gravel from the center of Lemon Creek. They've done so every year for like 15 years. It actually cuts down on flooding. It's helpful. They went over the Parks and Rec Master Plan, and the Parks and Rec land disposal issue is... they're working on a change to Title 53 so that Parks and Rec can actually dispose of some of their land and keep some of the funds. At least that was my understanding of it. On one of the mornings of Alaska Municipal League, the 21st, myself and City Attorney Palmer went to the swearing-in ceremony for Juneau's two newest police officers, Dwayne White and Jonah Hennings Booth. That was actually really interesting. And I would estimate there was roughly 25 or 30 police officers. So a good majority of the police force was there in that room. That was really neat to be around. The next day, I just wanted to include the court conclusion. I was burglarized in August of 2017. And it's just now coming to conclusion. So the police officers worked for about 3 weeks on that case, and the district attorney has been working for 18 months on that case, and that was just my one little component. So there's, as we've been talking about police officers and crime and Juneau, that was the very real-world implications of it. It takes a very long time. On the 26th, the Planning Commission had their largest audience that I'd witnessed to date and the longest meeting till 12:30. They discussed Deccan Dave. He's working on getting that lease at Pocket Park or Gunthicke Hay Park. There's an alcohol issue. Right now you can't drink in that park. He wants to turn it into a food court and would need that permission removed. The other factor that's going to impact that is it's in the historic district, and Deccan Dave's facilities are not historic, and so that's going to be something we have to address. They're also, on that planning commission, they were talking about gravel extraction from the West Glacier area. And then the Mountainside State, a neighborhood is being proposed next to an existing longtime neighborhood. Had a lot of contention. 30-plus people testified, and it went late into the night. I also, last Monday, I met with Forrest Davis. He's on the Juneau's Douglas Student Council. He's working on a plastic bag ban, and I gave him a handful of tasks on how he could improve the recycling, or how he could make the plastic bags more environmentally friendly and improve the situation here in Juneau. The only last thing that I'd like to include: on Wednesday, the 6th, marks my 24th anniversary of living in Juneau. I celebrate that day every year, and I always make a big deal, call my dad, who dragged me up here, and I'm going to get to celebrate this year with you guys. So I look forward to that, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Ms. Hughes-Handy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It was a busy period of time, and I need to take better notes because I am an easily forgetful person. I attended the first day of Southeast Conference, which was great to talk about Southeast issues, and was my first conference. It was a great event. I also attended the Alaska Municipal League, which was really wonderful education and very heartening to talk with leaders from around the state about common impacts that we might be experiencing. We talked about the budget a lot. I attended meetings of the Commission on Aging and the Affordable Housing Commission as a liaison. The Commission on Aging is getting ready to go with their survey that they do, and they've formed a subcommittee. They're very excited about that. There's a lot of good energy on the commission, and the Affordable Housing Commission was a good meeting as well, but we addressed that already this evening. I was able to attend a reception at the Filipino Community Hall to see the swearing-in of the new board members, which was a really lovely night. I also attended a AFL-CIO reception that was being held at the end of a convention and met with local labor groups in town, which was also a good event. And I was, that same week, helped the senator from our district with a fundraiser for the Girl Scouts of Alaska, which was a lot of fun. That's all I have to report.
That was quite a bit. Good job. Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also attended Southeast Conference, and I know Robert didn't plan it this way, but having it at the same day that the governor's budget dropped made things extra exciting. And also, kudos to him. I think they had their largest attendance for a mid-session summit. It was a great couple days. I have not met with the Aquatics Board since our last meeting. I don't think the Aquatics Board had. No, they did. They did meet. I was out of town. But I have talked to the Parks and Rec Director about the number of seats that will become vacant on the Aquatics Board this summer. So if anybody's listening at home and has any interest in the Aquatics Board, start thinking about it. That's going to be, we're going to be working on recruitment for that board. I went to a Travel Juno meeting last week and saw the results of a McDowell Group survey of Juno's independent visitors. Those are visitors who, basically everybody who didn't come on a cruise ship. And it was a very interesting survey, and I think will be released publicly this week. And the main takeaway, and this kind of harkens back to what Mr. Day said during his comments at the beginning of the meeting, the number one thing people are satisfied with was Juneau residents and Juneau's people. So that's what really makes our city a great place to visit. Travel Juneau is also involved in the challenges of pedestrian crossings downtown, and they are working on that. And stakeholders and community members who took the Destination Next survey will soon receive an invitation to learn more about the results, which is scheduled for March 28th, and I believe they will be hearing from Ms. Perry about that. And other than that, I went on a lovely vacation, and I didn't forget about you guys. I visited both the Paris City Hall and the Dublin City Hall. Got some new inspiration for, you know, some design inspiration for our potential new City Hall.
Thank you, Mrs. Mr. Edwardson.
About 200 or 300 years.
The Human Resources meeting, our Human Resources Committee met right before this meeting tonight, and we have one recommendation for a board or commission. The Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly appoint Emil Mackey to the Board of Equalization for a term beginning immediately and ending December 31st, 2021. And I'm asking for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none.
Thank you.
You're a new member of Board of Equalization.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Let me see. On the 12th of February, the Airport Board met. There's a lot of different discussions. I don't want to go too far into the LEEDS discussion for green certification, basically, because we talked about it a lot more in Public Works than they did in the Airport Board, and I would rather have Ms. Hale report back on that. Let me see. They also had a pretty lengthy discussion about a wildlife biologist that's on site at the airport. And the work that he does to help us avoid bird strikes at the airport, something that people don't normally think about, but they're working at every day. And one thing, and it's going to be affecting the budget. I don't know if everybody knew this, but I didn't know it, and the airport board didn't know it before they dug into it. But you can't use federal funds for the 1% for ARC. So,
That is news.
Yeah. So I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that. And by the look on the city manager's face, there might be a question about that. Let's see. I went to AML like everybody else. It was very informative. It was very that was, I think, the third AML that I went to, and it was by far the most energetic for one reason or another. Let me see. Wednesday, day after tomorrow, 7:30 in room 224, we have interviews for Docks and Harbors. There's one vacancy for Docks and Harbors, another subject that we talked about today. And second?
7:30, is that right?
7:30.
Are you sure it's not 6:30? It's 6:30.
6:15.
Yeah, mine says 7:30.
Clerk, what's the correct answer?
I believe it is.
What is called the majority rule?
If you look at your special assembly agenda portion of your packet, that's where our agenda is, and it's been noticed for 6:15, and that's what we have on our agenda.
Let's do it at 6:15. Then.
Excellent.
That's really good since your interviews are scheduled about 20.
Madam Mayor, online I have March 6, 2019, 7:30 p.m.
Huh. Online for the agenda? Or
no, for the Novus. Novus?
That's the special assembly meeting, not the special
agency. Oh, okay. Okay.
This is assuming we will be done in an hour and 15 minutes.
And that's what you wanted to say, Mr. Brayson?
I was going to point that I made this exact same mistake when I first saw it.
Do we have four?
There's four.
Okay. Let me see. Next is we have a joint meeting with the airport board on the 21st. What is next?
Do we have a time for that?
It's under. Well, I don't want to try to do that now. All right. No, I don't have time for it.
The joint meeting
for assembly and airport on the 21st at 5:30, and a joint meeting with the assembly and the hospital board at 5:30 on the 19th.
Here
in the assembly chambers.
Thank you. So, I have one more thing. What was it? Oh, one thing that I will say, and you may have seen some stuff on the news, and I'm not going to dig into it too deeply. I wasn't on the assembly in August of 2016, but I wish I were in order to vote for the non-discrimination ordinance that passed that month. So I am glad to live in a city that passed that, in a region that at least two cities have passed that, and that's all I have.
Just be sure we'll see each other on Wednesday at 6:30.
And the 19th and 21st at 5:30.
Yes, and the 19th and 21st at 5:30. So, okay, with that, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Finance Committee has not met since our last assembly meeting. Our next meeting is March 13th at 5:30. hopefully... we'll deal with, I think, utility rates, and I'm not sure what else. But the Child Care Committee met on the 15th of February, and on the 1st of March, it will meet again this Friday, and we will begin to review a draft report. That draft report is 8 pages of notes from our meeting on the 1st, and running around in my head, but I've got 2 sentences on paper. So it's a work in progress. The Juneau School District's last meeting was on February 12th. They had a work session with UAS. Since then, they've been working on the budget, including a 3.5-hour retreat on a Saturday morning on the 23rd. They meet again tomorrow night at Thunder Mountain at 5:30 to look at the budget. Looking at it online, they are basically going to propose a budget based on the average daily membership dollar amount that was in a December 14th budget, and also the $30 million that's in law. Knowing that that may not be the real number, but it's the only one that they feel they need to spend their effort on. They don't need to spend their effort on the governor's budget and what $13 million reduction might look like. And then they will meet again on March 12th in a work session, and that will be the first reading of their budget before the board, and then they will have a special meeting later on in March so that it can be presented to the manager at the end of March and be part of our April 3rd Finance Committee meeting when the manager introduces the budget. And at that time, we will start our weekly finance meetings until we pass the budget. Downtown Business Association has not met since the last meeting. They are meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 at JEDC conference room. Just in terms of comments, I've attended a lot of the meetings that everybody else has already talked about. Some I've been able to do most of, some I've only been able to do part of, and probably some of the others that are too lengthy to mention. I've met up with all of you someplace. I did ask permission a while back to take a look at the review of CBJ leases. I have met with the attorney, and I think he emailed out this afternoon a draft of the ordinance and also a memo explaining what that ordinance would do. I believe it's been run by a couple other assembly members. There was a change made, which is fine with me. So I would like tonight to ask the assembly permission or to instruct the manager to run this by the Docks and Harbors Board and the Planning Commission. I'll be more than happy to go and talk to them when they do the review, and that once that review is done, then it would be scheduled on to the COW. So we would have those comments from those two groups which are affected by these potential changes, and then decide what the will of the assembly would be once it got the committee of the whole.
Okay, any objections to that?
Just a question. So just so I'm clear on the process, because that was my concern, that those boards had a chance to review this. So you would take it to those two places, and then it would come to a COW before
that's
we
correct.
Did anything. Okay.
And we wouldn't go to the COW until they had done it.
Yep.
And had their chance to make formal comments. Manager can let me know when those meetings are, and I will attend and explain my rationale. The other thing is...
Wait, no objection.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if 4 and 5 were omitted. How official was that? Was the 4 and 5 taken out on that proposal?
If I may, Madam Mayor.
Are you reading?
It's proposed to take out 4 and 5.
Right.
No, you got it.
And one example was the last Planning Commission meeting that went very long. The Planning Commission staff presented a 29-page analysis of a lease that had not yet been negotiated, and the Planning Commission spent 55 minutes on a lease that had not yet been negotiated and do absolutely nothing except recommend that the manager negotiate the lease.
Okay, I don't think you have to defend yourself anymore, Mr. Jones. There was no objection, so please get with the manager and figure out when you're going to go talk to the Harvard Board and the Planning Commission about it.
And then one other issue, for those who haven't been on the Assembly for a while, for several years, we dealt with the erosion on Mendenhall River around Meander Way and all of the homes there. And at the planning or the Public Works and Facilities Committee, there was an information item on the bank stabilization applications that three or six homes had made, in which CDD informed the Department of Natural Resources that there was a requirement that we had, the city was going to require, and it's called a COMAR, Conditional Letter of Map Revision, and it's basically a floodplain management issue that is required for us to maintain our FEMA certification. That was a surprise to the homeowners. They wanted to try to meet their this season to put rock to protect their property. Several of them have reached out to me. I met with the city manager, with Public Works, and with the CDD department, and agree that, in fact, our rules and FEMA's rules require it, despite all the work that NCRS did. The work needed was not completed. There's nobody in Juneau that does this work. It's a hydrological study, basically to determine if putting the rock in the water raises the floodplain level behind it, meaning upriver. And so I would like for the Assembly to give permission to the manager to take up to $20,000 out of the FY19 area-wide drainage CIP to pay for that study and to pay for it for all of the homes along that particular part of the river. There have been homes that have been permitted in which CDD did not require this. And there are homes that may in the future come in. And as far as I can tell from CDD, there's no stale date on this particular study if we do it for the river. And the homeowners have a couple of engineering firms outside of Juneau that can do this, and the estimated cost was a little bit less than $20,000. I would like the Assembly's permission, or the Assembly to agree with me, to give the manager direction to pay for that study. We've also talked to the city attorney, and there wouldn't be any sort of liability out there for us paying for that. I've already asked that question, Madam Mayor, and the attorney basically agreed that there wouldn't be any liability for us doing this on behalf of them. And I think this is a issue that we debated for a long time, and we just couldn't come up with an appropriate solution, and I think this is the way we can help.
Mr. Edwardson, then Ms. Glashefsky.
This issue keeps coming back, not just in this job, but in previous jobs. I guess my concern with giving money to some homeowners for some things, how does that make homeowners who come in for a different issue less deserving? And should we pay for those things that come up too?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Ms.
Bushes? I don't have enough information to be able to not object or to say this is moving $20,000 from one fund to Y fund. I need more than a verbal report at 9:20 about this kind of thing. I'm not ready to say yes to such a thing. I don't say no. I just don't have enough information, and I don't think I'll get it verbally right now. I need to read something more complete.
Right, Mr. Jones.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Edwardson's issue, I think we deal with that almost every Assembly meeting. Somebody wants something. We either do it or we don't. But I think this is an issue that affects a lot of homes. There's at least two pieces of city property. There's a couple of drainage issues from the roadway. I think we're going to have some issues on property tax, given that at least a couple homes are getting pretty close to having no backyard at all. They've lost their decks this summer, and I think it's going to have some major effect on our finances. I apologize to Ms. Glashevsky for bringing this up, but if we're going to try to get this construction season done, I did sit to the planning, the Public Works Committee, and I did review the memo, and so, I mean, there is the written requirements out there, I guess I can't answer any more than that, so I'm sure you're not going to accept all that. But I still would like to make the recommendation, and if that's in the way of a motion that people can object to, I would move that the Assembly authorize the manager to spend up to $20,000 on a conditional letter of map revision study for the homeowners on Meander Way.
I'm object just for a question. Why were some of the property owners permitted without the study? That would be my good. That's where I would agree with Ms. Glashevsky. I just didn't know some more information.
Madam Mayor, Mr. Jones is correct that previously the Clomars were not required. So as a result of the proposed NRCS project, we learned of this requirement. We learned that our historical practice wasn't accurate. So I think Mr. Jones is accurate in that our practice has changed, and for a good reason. We've updated it to what we should be doing. And I understand how that's doubly disappointing for the property owners that hoped that there would be a big project. So not only did they not get the big project, and there were good reasons the Assembly chose not to do that, but their hurdle for doing their own project got higher as a result of that effort.
So if we could get more information, I mean, we're meeting on Wednesday, we're meeting on the 18th, the next COW. I mean, can we get I appreciate the urgency. These people want to do things this season, but I don't know if this applies to just five properties and not everybody else's property. It's just a lot of things I don't know. If someone could explain it to me, not right now, I would be happy to read the one-page memo. So I object until I get that.
Yeah, I just second that. I feel like we could probably do something quickly, perhaps. I don't know. But I feel like I need to see something in writing. I just can't get something verbally and make a decision either way.
Okay, thank you.
Can we get something on the March 18th COW?
Go ahead.
Madam Mayor, so certainly you've got meetings coming up. The 18th, I believe you've got Public Works and Facilities and the COW. I am the one who suggested the funding source to Mr. Jones of the area-wide drainage project, which we use as a CIP for broadly solving drainage problems. Mr. Palmer has been writing me a note that his advice would be better to appropriate the funds, which could be done by a transfer. So in terms of critical path, it looks like the 18th for Public Works and Facilities, and then we would either be waiting for April 1st for Assembly action, unless we did it at one of the special meetings.
Could we do it just at the COW?
We could do a special Assembly meeting on the night of the 18th, and we would advertise that transfer, assuming that Public Works and Facilities approved it earlier in the day, but as long as we got the public notice in for the night, for that night.
Okay. Mr. Jones, you made the motion. Are you willing to withdraw your motion to have it at Public Works on the COW, or would you like us to vote on it tonight?
Good debate. I don't know. I feel some urgency on this. I think the Assembly has let this community down in the past, despite our best efforts. And I want to see something done. Two-week delay, if we can get the transfer in and get enough explanation to ease people's mind, But I sat through all of those 3 years, I guess. I have a sense of urgency more than others who haven't sat through it. So I will withdraw my motion, but I hope people read and understand. willing to work on this to get it done on the 18th. If we delay this and we get the same kind of no vote or anything, then it'd be very disappointing. But I will withdraw the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. And Mr. Watt, would you make sure it's on the Public Works agenda and whatever special assembly meeting we have to have that night to bring it up? All right. Anything else, Mr. Jones?
No, I can live with what I've done.
Thank you. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Lands Committee met and we discussed leasing city land for communication towers. We received a lease application for a nonprofit fair market lease at Lena Point. Lands approved it, sent it to community development, and then it'll go to planning commission, then it'll come to the assembly, and then the decision will be made. Campus Council met today. I don't think we're called Campus Council, but now I don't remember what we're called. I don't think anyone said what it was. But at any rate, it's what used to be Campus Council. Chancellor Caulfield gave a presentation about how the governor's budget is going to affect the university campuses all over the state. And I think you all know how much money is getting cut, and it's pretty dismal. The committee agreed, all of us agreed, that we should write a resolution and send it to the governor on behalf of the council. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to start writing that. Chamber meets at the hangar every week. Rory gave a very good financial report on the state and on Juno. And I heard many compliments about how well you did, so thank you. The Alaska Committee voted to elect Carl Winninger to fill Norton Gregory's term. And then we talked about the budget, like everybody's talking about the budget. We had to too. And we discussed the fact that we need to watch the governor's budget for things that the Alaska Committee has been working on, like gavel to gavel. Is that going to get cut? Is it not going to get cut? And that's a real consideration for statewide knowledge about what's happening in Juneau and having the capital be accessible. Docks and Harbors, so we approved the Alaska Memories Enterprise with Nordic Tug Charters for a sublease renewal. And, there's a method to get this electric something to get passengers off the ship so they can go to an ambulance. And that's set up to do through Docks and Harbors. Is that right? It's good enough. Okay. I also attended Southeast Conference and Alaska Municipal League. I thought the Alaska Municipal League was about the best that I've been to since I've been on the assembly. Was more interested. Anyway, I thought it was quite good. And the Filipino reception was fun. That was almost like a reward for the week and all the meetings. They do such a wonderful job. And that's it. Thank you.
Ms. Bashefsky.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Assembly Committee of the Whole met last week, February 25th, talked about a number of things, the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, the 238-page plan. Well done. We got a presentation. We did not act on it. People are considering it and reading it more thoroughly, and we'll hear that again. We talked about dockless vehicles, like electric scooters and e-bikes. Heard about what's happened to other communities when they've just been dropped into town. For that concern, the Assembly is asking the manager to draft an ordinance that would temporarily prohibit the use of those dockless transportation devices until the Assembly had time to fully consider all of the issues. So people are, we're not saying they don't ever want them. They're just saying that we might, if we do want them, we want them orderly and in a way that we can handle. So that's being drafted. We heard about food trucks, update regarding the Archipelago lot and where they might go, and Assembly basically decided to rely on the private sector to absorb those entities, and also the city has a map with locations where food trucks are allowed. Consider adding locations to those, to that map, so not start a new process for that, but just rely on those avenues to handle those food trucks. We talked about the state budget and impacts to Juneau, and the resolutions, began to draft the resolution that we just talked about 5 minutes ago. We are meeting again in 2 weeks, March 18th. I'd like to thank the members of the Affordable Housing Commission. We disbanded today, and after they all walked out, I realized no one really thanked them formally, or at least I didn't, and wanted to make sure they understood that we really appreciated all the work they've done. They've worked hard. They meet monthly. They've grinded through a lot of issues over the years and have really moved the ball, and really appreciate all their work, and they're very diligent members working on that. So I just wanted to thank them publicly for that, and for their future ideas about how to reconfigure things. Attended a lot of the same meetings everyone else did, AML, innovation, just a tiny bit of the Innovation Summit. Wish she could have done more of that. The mayor talked about the welcomes she did. She couldn't attend the Alaska chapter of the Wildlife Society, so she let me do that. That was very fun. And I get to do the poetry out loud. Welcome, too, so thank you very much. Very exciting. And a lot of this, the chamber, the Filipino, that was very fun. Girl Scouts also, very great things going on in this community. And I had a question, but I lost it, so thank you very much. We'll stop for now.
Thank you, Ms. Bajewski, and thank you to Ms. Becker. Thank you. So, two things that I forgot. Number one, I would be remiss to not point out that we have our new finance director in the audience, Jeff Rogers, so welcome. These meetings always get done early. And also, one of the other thing I forgot to say, and Ms. Glashevsky reminded me, because she danced so lovelyly at it with her husband, that we went to Motown town, and that was excellent, and Brian Shaw did an extremely awesome job at that. So thank you for Jack for bringing it. Ms. Glashevsky remembered.
I remember the thing. Actually, it's just to talk about Mr. Day came and talked about TBMP, and he keeps coming in non-agenda items, and I just wanted to make sure we get him at a COW. TBMP is an important thing. There's a lot of folks on this assembly that haven't really been fully briefed, and that whole issue, so hopefully we can get him, ask him, and get him to. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay. With that, we have no presiding officer reports, so we'll go to continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Mr. Quayle, you have 3 minutes.
William Quayle, 415, Willoughby, number 305. I'm advocating that ask the Assembly to remind the city managers, both assistant, to address changing of the boundaries out to the hatchery. It is a safe way to get out there, and several times both pedicab companies, me and myself, do want this change, okay? And I feel it's very safe and be beneficial for the city, and it will take care of, like, less of times there's non-emergency situations where seniors are not quite getting around, and we can take people out there legally. I spend $1,500 a year for my certificate, and I have to pay it again, and the money set aside is going to be paid next month. And I would appreciate, and it takes me all the way up to the middle of August to get reimbursed with all the money I spend between the docks and harbors and my certificate. I appreciate to get some service out of that. Okay. And I'm asking the assembly to please prod the managers to get the work done. And as subject to e-bikes, pedicabs, I understand, are we can actually have electronic assist. When it comes to e-bikes, you just make sure they can go on the same trails and lanes, bicycle lanes that bicycles do, and you shouldn't have any problem. In my case, I cannot put my bike in e-assist because I want to make sure I'm able to still take the weight. If I change the wheel, I'll be screwing up my weight limit. So it's American made, and last year it took up to 700 pounds, and I've taken my share of people. But asking the assembly to prod the season starts on April 28th, and hopefully I'll be doing this to make sure that a lot of seniors are able to get from point A to point B, because I had several times where I was asked to pick up some people that kept the EMTs from having to come out. There's a lot of times we do that, and both companies do that. We have a tendency to let, there's a lot of people that they're just like a moving ships, they're moving long-term care facilities. And that's the truth, it really is.
All right, thank you, Mr. Brown. Any questions for Mr. Brown? Seeing and hearing none, thank you. Any other members of the public that want to speak on public participation? Seeing and hearing none. Shockingly enough, we have no executive session tonight. Any other? Mr. Manager.
I just want to, for those listening, our legislative delegation is having their town hall on March 12th, 5 p.m. at JD High School. And so there's another opportunity for people to participate on the budget.
All right. Thank you for that, Mr. Watt. Any other items before the assembly? Seeing and hearing none.